Well, I don't want to take too long this morning. Famous last words. I've got a plane to catch. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Psalms. I want us to go to Psalm 103. Thank you, Lord. So this morning we've been focusing on the children, and we've been focusing on communion, dedicating, committing our lives and our children's lives to the Lord. Psalm 103 is one of the most awesome psalms, in my opinion, in the Bible. And it really is a full statement. So let's just look at it, Psalm 103. Are you there? When you're there, say amen. Have you got a Bible? If not, there may be some left under the seats. If not, please speak to us afterwards. We'd be gladly to find you a Bible. Don't leave home without one. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Just want to remind you about when it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So therefore, you are supposed to bless the Lord with your will, your emotions, and your intellect. A lot of people do not bless God intellectually. They only bless God emotionally. And they only bless God when their emotions are in a good place. But if you are going to bless the Lord with all of your soul, you are going to bless the Lord with your emotions when your emotions are in a bad place. Can somebody say amen? So in other words, when things are bad, things are down, there's a song that we sung, you know, when life is hard, when there's pain in the offering, bless His name. But it's something that you have to decide to do. It's something that you have to be committed to. You know, it's an interesting thing about commitment. I don't know about you, but if you think about this, commitment. Think about the things you're committed to. One of the things I'm committed to in life is putting clothes on every morning. I'm very committed to this. This is something, this is not some kind of choice. This is not should I, shouldn't I. There's a commitment inside of me to put my clothes on every morning. I don't know about you young folks, but when you get a little older, you get kind of committed to stopping at red lights. I think it comes with maturity, I agree. But, you know, it's not something, well, should I? You know, well, you know, I really don't fancy red this morning. Although I must admit there have been times I've been tempted just because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, no one around, and just go, oh, I want to drive through a red light. You know, I understand those things, and we really shouldn't do them. And if you get a ticket, don't come crying to me. But are you committed to stopping to red lights, or is it still a choice in your life? If it's still a choice in your life, then the odds are you either get a ticket and end up with no license, or you end up getting in a wreck and getting hurt and losing money. And that's really what commitment is. Commitment is something when you realize that if you're not committed to it, sooner or later, if you're going to allow your emotions to determine whether you like red lights today or not, whether you're going to let your emotions determine these things, then what have you really got? You've got a very iffy life. You've got a life that's really up one day, down the next. And that's why we should make a commitment in our hearts to bless the Lord at all times. And let His praise be continually on our lips. Again, I've said this many times. Please don't spend all your time listening to praise worship music in your car unless you are singing with it. Because the praise needs to be on your lips. So therefore, we need to bless the Lord with our soul. When we have to do something that we don't want to do it, is there a sense of duty in serving God? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is why the Bible says, be instant, in season, and out of season. That you've got to do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. When you're committed to blessing the Lord, then you're going to do right things, whether you feel like it or not. But if you're only going to do things according to your emotions, then this is when you understand how much are you actually blessing the Lord with your soul, or are you still only blessing the Lord with your feelings? Blessing the Lord with your feelings is not enough. Thank God your feelings get involved. We just saw the little fella. His feelings got involved, praise God. And he's right. That's how one should feel about the things of God. He got handed a promotion and he was just having a ball. I so appreciate that, man. We need to keep doing this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His Social Security. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his social security. Forget not all of his benefits, the Bible says. I think I mentioned this last week, that I was at a wedding last week, and there were a couple of state workers talking about retirement, as they often do. And they were talking about their level or their grade of retirement. One had a level one, the other had a level four. The best, I surmise, being level one. And level one retirement includes all of these benefits. And it's so exciting that we are saying, bless the Lord, O New York State, and forget not all of your benefits towards me when I retire. And I'm too old and lazy to know what to do with them. I didn't say that. That was him. He said that. You see, we can't have a life. Listen, I thank God for people who've got pensions. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for people who have a good job with health insurance and 401ks and all that. I really appreciate that. But are you really blessing the Lord for all of his benefits? His benefits are far greater than anything you can be given. His benefits are endless. And I really want to encourage all of you to begin to think about his benefits. If there was a choice, I often wonder this, if a person my age was now in a position one, a grade one retirement, and I'm offered, listen, you got to choose right now between the benefits of your retirement or the benefits of the Lord. You can't have both. Which one would you choose? It would be a tough decision. Come on, somebody help me. It would be a tough decision. How would you like to be faced when you reach 60, 62, 65, or whatever age you choose to retire? How would you feel to be faced with an option? Just that you've been working for that place for 30 years or whatever it is, and you know, you're just about to get your golden watch, as they always used to do in England. Did I ever tell you about when I was 16? I told somebody, let me remind you. I started work at 16 in this horrible place. And they came up to me and they said, would you like to join the pension plan? I went, no thanks. 16, pension plan, get out of here, you know. And they said, well, you don't have a choice. Oh, here I am at 16, and all I know about pensions is, when I get older, losing my hair, many years from now. Was the Beatles singing about when I'm 64. You know, I don't know about any of you guys, but when you're 16, 64 is in another millennium. 64 is actually somewhere in the universe on another planet and has got nothing to do with me. It's amazing how young people haven't got a clue. They don't understand time at all. Which is why you don't actually understand eternity, which is why you don't actually strive for it. You don't understand time at all. Which is also a reason why most of you are so late. But so the reality is I remember saying to these guys, listen, can't you give me a pension from now till I'm 25 years old so I can spend it and know what I want to do with it now and then work till I die? They looked at me a bit funny. But I was a free thinker even in those days. And so I end up, of course, living that life, because I will work till I die, hallelujah. I hope each and every one of us will. If your plan is retirement, if your plan is, sliding off into some purposeless golf course, then I really hope that from now till that time that you begin to understand there's a purpose on your life. You know, one of the things that makes America so great is how we work so hard to do nothing. Have you ever thought of that? Why do you think we're so innovative? We're so innovative. We're actually a very hard-working nation. We work more days and weeks in the year, I think, than any country in the Western world. And the reason is we actually don't want to work. So therefore, we work hard so we can not work. That's why we invent all things. To give us time to not do them. But the only trouble is the things we've invented, we now want to buy, and so we have to work so much to buy them. Have you ever spoken to your grandparents?
Well, in my case, my mother.
You know, somehow they had more time in those days than we have now. I don't know why. I mean, life before a microwave is unimaginable, let alone a washing machine, a dishwasher. Saw one on the side of the road just this morning. A dishwasher works fine, $10. Only in America. Praise God. All of our things and everything that we have to buy, and yet with all these time-saving devices, we have less time. Because we're busy with our time working to buy our time-saving devices. So probably if we had a few less time-saving devices, we'd have more time. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's not go there. But think about it, saints. Think about it. How much did you pay for your last toy? Praise God. Too much. There's the answer right there. Too much. Forget not all his benefits. All of his benefits are undeniable. And his benefits are so great that we actually can't grasp them because we've been convinced of the benefits of this system. Once you're convinced about a certain system, then the greater eternal system begins to fade and you can't actually see it because you're now convinced of a system that is tangible, is visible, is obtainable, and seemingly is undeniable, and undeniable it is. But I want to encourage all of you folks, remember, I don't know much about statistics, but won't be that long before Social Security dries up. Am I right or am I wrong? So they tell me, how many years you? So in about 2040, so when most of you young guys are still in your 40s, Social Security and its benefits are going to dry up. Something's going to stop. And now we're confronted with a new medical system that is going to be a great benefit. Well, excuse me, I'm English. Do you want to ask somebody about how social medicine works? Ask an Englishman. We know very well how it works. Not. It doesn't work. It works for those who don't work. Now, there's this reality in the kingdom of God. Forget not all his benefits. Now, his benefits, are they just free for everybody? Well, yes-ish, but there is an understanding that the Bible says, he who doesn't work doesn't eat. Which I can never understand why unemployed people are so overweight. How can that be? You know, you're not working, so obviously you're not eating. So how, like, help me here. Maybe the air's getting fat in New York. I think it is. If you're listening to this message, I weigh, mind your own business, how much I weigh. Too much. But when you begin to look, I mean, are we just going through life in this plodding, systematic realm that is just slowly trying to take away all of our initiative, trying to take away all of our innovation, trying to take away all of the what's that word that Americans are so, entrepreneurial attitude? Americans are the greatest entrepreneurs in the world, at least they used to be. People, they would always invent another way to make money. Hallelujah. Haven't you ever watched those shows? That guy who died recently with the beard. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What's his name? Billy Mays. He was quite Billy Amazing, wasn't he? He could sell anything. He could sell anything. He could sell spots to a leopard, you know. He was amazing. He could do anything. And it was all, it was because we, in the midst of everything, we can be such a gullible breed, can't we? Oh, I need that. That will save me time. Only 3 payments. Oh, that's pretty good. My car was 60. You know what I'm saying? And I know I'm saying like I'm being facetious, probably because I think I'm being facetious, but the point is are we thinking, when you wake up in the morning, are you thinking? Are you thinking?
or are you just going to work? Are you waking up in the morning, are you thinking, or are you just going to school? Are you waking up in the morning, are you thinking? Do you wake up in the morning and think, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all of my thinking power that is within me, bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits to me. Then go to work. There's a difference. If you're not doing that, if you're not absorbing the promises of God into your soul, into your spirit, before you go to work, then the systems of this world, the kingdoms of this world, are ruling you. And Jesus is not your Lord. Are we okay this morning? I want to encourage you in this. Self-employed people especially. Man, what an opportunity for you to get blessed. What an opportunity for you to understand how God wants to bless you. Tonight, at 7 o'clock, we are showing a DVD of Rodney Howard Brown. If you've never heard of Rodney Howard Brown probably did more for the kingdom of God in the decade of the 90s, I'm going to say this slowly, than any other man on the planet. That's who Rodney Howard Brown is. He was the guy that brought a move of the Spirit that included the joy, that included miracles and signs and wonders. Rodney Howard Brown, he was just in Burundi with Philip Smethurst. Philip called me on Friday. We spoke for a while. They were in Burundi. The conservative estimates of the crusades that him and Rodney were doing were between 130 and 150,000 people a night. One man who was good at statistics believed there was actually 200,000 people there. He said, but let's just call it 130 or 150. That's the kind of crusades that were going on. One night, he said it was so awesome that 30,000 people got baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues in one go. You can imagine, it's like the whole of Kingston all of a sudden speaking in tongues. That's amazing things. That's amazing things are going on. That's Rodney Howard Brown. The crowds came because the president was there. The president is a personal friend of Philip. We're going now down to Zambia to minister in Philip's school and to Philip's rural pastors network. This is why this is a very important trip. This trip we're going on is not a small trip. This trip is the fruit of one man, David Shimenda, a pastor from Livingstone, Zambia, coming to my house in Lexington, New York, 20 years ago, and asking me to come to Zambia and help him. We went down there. We took a team of seven. One of them was Dave Hart. Dave Hart stayed. Dave Hart built a great work. His sons are still working in the ministry down there, his spiritual sons. We're going down to work with them, Pastor Thomas. Dave's widow is unfortunately been sick in bed for 3 or 4 weeks. We're not sure what it is, so please keep her in prayer. And now Philip has got one of the greatest mission visions and mission bases in the entire world, reaching the unreached people. Now that's what we're going down to do. This is not just any old mission trip. This is somewhere where we're going down there to see what is going on with the SAM project, which is a sustainable agriculture for the young people. We're going down there to see what's going on in the orphan ministry. That last year they opened 17 schools in villages through Zambia where all the AIDS orphans are now going to get an education. We help support those schools. We help provide these situations. And I want to say this because we need to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. You see, those young people down there, their fathers, their mothers die, and so their grandparents or aunts try and help them out, but they don't have the benefits of our social security system. They don't have the benefits of everything that you and I, let's face it, man, being poor in America is a choice. Being poor in America is a decision because you can go to college free in our country. Hallelujah. People can help you with housing. They'll help you with food. This nation, there are ways to always bring you to a place of sustainability, but in those countries, there's nothing. There's nothing. They're beggars. They've got nothing else to do. You know, if you've got a job, you're earning $2 a day, praise God. And if you haven't got a job, how do they get any help? They can only do it by trusting God. And I want to encourage you. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over and shaken ever, shall men give unto your bosom. And I want to encourage you that we are some of those men and women that can be part of the benefit of God by helping these people in these nations. Everywhere you go, there's AIDS Club. You know, here you may have a stamp. You know, people don't collect stamps anymore. What clubs do they have at schools these days? I don't know, whatever clubs they have at schools, high schools. Down there, the most popular club in any high school is the AIDS Club, HIV Club. That's got the most members in it. Because so many of the kids whose parents are dead, people, there is not one family I know in Livingstone, Zambia, that hasn't had a death in their family through HIV/AIDS. That they're bringing kids and young people and teenagers, relatives from the villages into their homes because of the death of these things. It's at epidemic proportions. And I want to encourage you, we can make the difference. We can be part of God's extended arm here, making a difference to these people. And that's why we need your prayer. And we thank God for your support. But just, well, I could keep going on about this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder how long as a country ourselves will we be able to depend on the benefits of the system. I want to encourage all of you to begin to, how can I tell you, test God. Try him out and see. Put yourself in a position where you can say, God did that. God did that. I didn't tell anybody, God did that. So wonderful. I told you about one of my favorite stories about Wendy. I talked about her a lot over this weekend. Is just that simple thing that she decided, being as her husband's favorite food was rice, to go with the curry, of course, that she was going to not buy any rice. She was going to trust her Father in heaven, her husband in heaven, to provide. And without telling one person on the earth, God brought rice into the house for 21 months. That's a lot of rice. That's a lot of rice. But I'm saying that because she didn't forget his benefits. We've always been a single income family, so therefore she'd look towards her husband to provide. So therefore, for once she says, wait a minute, my maker is my husband. I want to see him provide. 21 months is a long time to make sure that God has not forgotten you and that you haven't forgotten his benefits. I know there's small stories sometimes, but tonight Rodney is going to show you a story that is mind-blowing about God's benefits. I've already seen it. I really would recommend you come, and there will be ministry afterwards. It's going to be a great meeting. Also, while I'm at the subject, please, September the 27th. Everyone say September the 27th. That's the first Sunday that we're back. We've got a special meeting on Sunday morning. Please make every effort to be here. We've got certain things that we want to bring out, certain announcements, vision statements that we want everybody to be hearing. And that night, we have a baptismal service. So trust me, separate that day unto the Lord. And if you haven't been to one of these revival baptism services, this could be your first. Right, all right, let me just finish this. Verse 4. Verse 3. He forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I feel I need to stand here and confess something this morning. I went to the doctor on Friday, first time I've seen him this year. Great guy. I should go more often. I just like talking to him. I do. He got his degree in sports medicine, so, you know, I kind of like the guy. And I guess natural people don't impress me much, if you get my drift. You know what I'm saying? I know what they know, but they don't know who I know. Not what you know, mate. Who you know. And so I'm kind of ashamed to tell you this, which maybe is all the more reason that I should. I came out of the doctor's office with 11 prescriptions. I asked the lady, I said, is this a record? She said, no. She said, if you do it, it will be. Anybody hear that? Dr. Vaughan writes out prescriptions every Sunday. So at the end of 50 Sundays, you've had 50 prescriptions. I wonder how many of them you fill. And I thought that, yeah, that's a good point, because I don't intend to fulfill 11 of them. Most of them were actually x-ray situations. I guess that rugby game is kind of catching up with me a little bit. He came in the office, I said, you got enough paper? It's true. I'll be honest with you. You know, I've injured my foot. It's been hurting now since April. Both my knees, forget about it. Let's not talk about knees. My hip, my back, my elbow, all these things. I mean, that's how many scripts is that for x-rays? And there's all kinds of other things going on as well. And, you know, there's something inside of me that's going, why am I trusting in this system? I have to begin to forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities. Who heals all my diseases. Because the time's coming when, you know, you're going to get to a certain age, man, and if there's anything true about the medical system, the way it's going to go, I don't want to put my life in the decision of somebody else who's running the budget when I want to be able to trust God who will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And it's got to start now. It's no good me waiting until I'm 70 and 80. I've got to start now. Trusting God, are you going to work a miracle in my life, Lord? Are you going to keep me going? Are you going to encourage me? Am I going to bless you all the time and forget not your benefits? I just want to close on one thought. If we want to go back to Psalm 1, please. Psalm 1 is just a verse that I found. Now listen, I'm not saying, I like my doctor, I've told you that. We've never gotten the subject together of evolution. We've never gotten the subject of whether he believes there's a God or not. So therefore, you know, in the broad, forgive my broad statement here about evolution. I'm not getting into the argument. But what I'm saying is, if there wasn't a master plan for us physically, then there can't possibly be a master plan spiritually. There can't possibly be. So if there isn't a master plan, like for instance, why do so many of us wear glasses? Where the heck is that written? It's because somewhere along the line, we abused our eyes. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. In fact, take your glasses off and look at me. That was a bit of an English joke. Live with that one. Can you get my... Why do so many men have back problems? Bad design. Well, we used to walk on all fours at one time. Oh, that's why we have back problems. Gotcha. Now, I know I'm sounding facetious. Stay with you. And obviously, many of you do believe in evolution. And I'm not going to argue about it. I believe personally I was made in the image and the likeness of God. But you do what you like with that. It says here, verse 1 of Psalm 1, an amazing how of all the Psalms, 150 of them, it begins with this statement. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law meditates day and night. And night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth in fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, somebody say whatever he does. And it says whatever he does will prosper. And this is something that we need to look at. Man, I am not prospering in all of my whatever I does. My body is not prospering, all right? I know I does play rugby for 19 seasons, and that has a lot to do with it. There's no question about that it damaged my body so much. But God is more than able to heal me. God is more than able to make a difference. If I forget not all his benefits towards me. What situation are you in where you're lacking a real prosperity? I tell you, number one reason, you're hanging out with the wrong people. Number one reason. It's not just because you're lazy. It's not because you got unbelief. It's not just because you've been a bad boy. It's not because you used to be a drug addict or a drunk or a wife beater or whatever. You used to be a prostitute or whatever. It's got nothing to do with that. The reason why we are struggling in the benefits of God is we are hanging out with the wrong people. Have you ever read the verse that says, good company corrupts bad habits? No, that verse ain't in the Bible. It says, bad company corrupts good habits. And the more you hang out with bad people, I promise you, the less you're going to prosper. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want financial advice? What, are you going to go to the bank manager? People get mad at me because I'm always talking about money, but you go to the bank manager? Yeah. You ever asked him what he does, you know, on the side? We get mad at things in the kingdom of God, and then we go and ask unbelieving lawyers, unbelieving doctors, unbelieving teachers, unbelieving lecturers, unbelieving psychiatrists, unbelieving psychologists, unbelieving counselors. And we wonder why we're struggling. You know why? It's because we're not blessed. Because we're not staying in the counsel of God's word, of God's truth. Therefore, and this is my closing thought, the battle of your mind, which is the strongest battle, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. This is where your strongholds are, saints. It says, casting down imaginations. What else does it say? Help me quote it. It just slipped. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What? Casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity. Think about these things. And the reason we have got all those things in our mind is we are so busy listening to the people who are not coming from a godly perspective. Blessed is the man who walketh not. You know, the first thing, like you've heard this before, but I really would suggest the first thing you do is stop listening to the prophets of CNN and CBS and ABC. Stop listening to those prophets. They're prophesying doom over you. When was the last time you watched a news program and went, yes, yes, yes? You see what I'm saying? And it's amazing. Well, it doesn't matter. True, but maybe Psalm 1 isn't as important as being the first psalm and the first verse in the first psalm. Maybe it's not that important that he says, blessed is the man that walketh not. So by the time you get to Psalm 103 and you forget not all his benefits, you've forgotten them. Because your head's full of bad counsel. Your head's full of bad information. Your head's full of the wisdom of this world instead of the wisdom of God. The understanding of this world instead of the understanding of God. And I'm going to stop because I think that's enough. I want to encourage you folks, please. Choose your friends wisely. decide who you do and don't talk to at the water cooler, I think they call it. Or another thing, don't hang around gossiping Christians. They're very ungodly. These things are important. They're important. Spiritual terrorism, as you know, I call it. So I want to say this because the benefits of God are limitless. And we want to be part of the benefit of God to Zambia. Last week we took an offering for Zambia. Some of you were here, some of you weren't here, some of you were generous, some of you hadn't had an opportunity yet. So we just want to take 2 minutes to make sure that there's anybody here, you haven't had an opportunity to give in the offering for Zambia. Now is the time. You can make your checks out to King's Fire International. Remember that the money, we're taking it all down there. Make sure we're going to use it to minister to the rural pastors. These men, we've got to pay for their fares, pay for their food, pay for their accommodation. We want to make sure these men are blessed. We want to make sure that we get something in the hands of the orphans, of whatever ministry is going on down there, the pastors down there that are laboring hard. Many expenses, obviously, are on the whole trip. So I know those of you that have given, thank you so much. Thank those of you that haven't had the opportunity yet, and you're going to do that now, thank you so much. This is a wonderful time that you will see that God will bless you as you bless the poor. It's one of the most awesome ways of giving. And Father, I just want to thank you in Jesus' name for the generosity of your people, for the love that you have for the nations of the world. We bless you, thank you, and glorify you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you, folks, choose your friends wisely. When I got saved, boy, my friends got so mad at me because I didn't want to hang out with them anymore. Yep. That was quite a sacrifice, but I thank God I did, because then I was immediately ready for the life of faith.